Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on 96.5 The Fan on a Tuesday. It's a beautiful day. Mac, it's going to be 72. You got to be grilling today right before you go to Spain. You got to be careful with the groceries, though. This is when you get to buy like Dusty. Buy a meal tonight.
Yeah, one a day kind of thing. Yep.
There you go. Clean out that fridge and let it go to work. Dusty sent me an Instagram of cooking the perfect turkey breast on the grill. And
I think I'm going to do a turkey breast this year instead of a full turkey.
It looks good.
Okay.
I've been told it's a lot better. I'll see you in the video.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the breast meat anyway.
Mm-hmm. Nice and juicy.
Yeah. Mm. Nobody wants. My grandmother used to eat the neck.
Ooh. Save the neck for me, Clark.
Yep, and she would eat that thing, and like, I don't know, man, whatever. She was also raised in the Depression, and so they ate everything, you know. But
she probably had more Tupperware than actual dishes.
Probably, or maybe not, I don't know. But like the leg, I don't know, the wing, you know, some of that kind of stuff. Just I always want the white meat. I always want the breast. Yep. So the breast is the way to go.
Give me that turkey breast, baby. That's where it's at. It's juicy.
Mm-hmm.
There's juice all over the place.
Better believe it. Miss the boat is the topic here. Over the last 2 years, teams are running the ball between 5 to 7% more of the time than they did prior to 2024. Teams are averaging over 4 yards per carry across the league. Did the Chiefs miss the boat on
Ryan? I spent way too much time yesterday thinking about that, right? And I was like, what's going on here? What am I missing?
Renaissance
right?
And running backs.
But there really isn't, though. That's the thing. It's not like a huge number. I was hoping to see this chasm of this huge gap. Like last year, they started running the ball more, and now they're running it even more. They're really not running that ball that much more. 5 to 7% of the time isn't that much. The yards per carries aren't more than they used to be. But 5 to 7% in a game, and those plays are successful, then they do become big plays, right? So they're not running the ball that much more, but when they do run the football right now that much more, the Chiefs are, I think, having a much difficult time of stopping it. And, you know, this is one where maybe they misevaluated the situation. I'm not talking offensively. I'm talking from a defensive standpoint. And I'm not talking just about the Chiefs. We've kind of seen a renaissance in the running game around the NFL. You guys have kind of talked about it for the last couple of years. And maybe we're seeing a renaissance in the running game in the NFL because teams put so much time and effort into building their defenses to stop the pass, they forgot about the run. And I'm not just talking about the Chiefs in this category. There's a lot of teams out there right now that look like they can't stop the run. The Giants being one of those teams. The Bengals, obviously, being one of those teams. The Cowboys being one of those teams. Everybody that we've seen recently, the Bills can't stop the run, right?
Until they can,
right? And so maybe these defenses right now in the NFL, Chiefs included in this one, but not just by the Chiefs themselves, maybe the league from a defensive standpoint misread where the offensive running game was going over the last couple of years. And they spent so much time and effort in getting defensive backs and getting linebackers that could be in coverage and safeties that could cover. It's like everybody always forgot about the running game. And as you know, when you start a week off in the NFL, every coach will tell you, or college or Pop Warner or whatever league you're in, the coaches will always say, keys to the game, stop the run and run the ball. And then they say that, but do they really mean that? And I think this year in the NFL, you're going to have to stop this run. And so to me, we're talking from a Chiefs perspective, but I think it's a bigger picture in the NFL. I think the offense has quietly reintroduced the running back and the defenses really didn't recognize it. Now here we are midway through the second season where the running back has kind of been reintroduced And teams are having a tough time stopping them. That's why you need to go out there and make a move from a defensive line standpoint. You need more bodies to stop the run that most teams in the NFL weren't really thinking about when they assembled their defenses.
I think the biggest problem for me where they missed the boat is free agency in the offseason. Because I look at three of the top five running backs per rushing yards in the NFL, and three of these guys were available to pick up on what they got from their teams that the Chiefs could have done. Now, maybe this is playing with your cards close to your chest, or you know, believing in the guys that you know that you had. But Rico Dowdle, number three in the NFL in rushing yards. Javonte Williams, number four in rushing yards. And J.K. Dobbins, number five in rushing yards in the NFL. All three, I believe, were available in the offseason that you could have gone and picked up, given that 1 year, prove it deal, and then moved on. And think about how much better your offense would be if they would actually, you know, utilize these. That's the other thing, too, is like, we talked earlier on, you know, in this season that Andy Reid, when he got Patrick Mahomes, like, you know what, this is the way. This is the new NFL. Andy Reid has always kind of proven that he will adjust to the times. One thing he has, no pun intended, held pat too, is that they just aren't a running team.
They're not.
Because they don't go get the running back. They brought back Kareem Hunt for the one-yard run. Isaiah Pacheco has now shown in three consecutive years that he's kind of injury-prone, which we kind of saw that coming the way that he runs the ball. Mm-hmm. But Javonte Williams, 716 yards rushing. Dowdle, 735 yards rushing. And J.K. Dobbins, 695 yards rushing. And you can say a lot of that is because, okay, Bo Nix, maybe he's not the dynamite passer that you want. And you look at Javonte Williams, he's got Dak Prescott. And maybe Rico, because he's got Bryce Young, they're using him more. But again, like, those guys were available. And like, now we're talking about what do you want at the trade deadline. And those guys are names that you could literally have been like, hey, instead of having to add what we want for me and Mac, I think is like a Breece Hall type running back, you could have had that guy for that cheap contract and could have been just the 1 year guy, and you wouldn't have to give him any picks. You wouldn't have to spend a whole lot of money. And like somebody says, J.K. Dobbins, I mean, he was here, man. Like, we could have, I mean, and again, they missed the boat on that because they knew what they had receiving wise. Mm-hmm. And they knew what they wanted their offense to be. But the one thing that I think is an eyesore on this offense is that now teams are just going to be like, okay, run the ball. We'll give you 50 yards a game for 4.0 yards a carry. It's not going to sustain because you're going to go back to what you do more often than not, and that's throw the ball.
Well, that's why you don't go get a running back. This organization has never valued the running back under Andy Reid. They've never invested in the running back under Andy Reid. They haven't, and there's no player in 13 years. But I'm talking about from a defensive standpoint, okay? We got our offense right now. It's not changing. The defense is easy to change. The defense is easy to move around. The defense is easy to make more adjustments to, because guys can do, all right, go out there and stop the run. Go out there and rush the quarterback. It's not that hard. It's not, you know, a playbook. You're not playing to as many skill sets as you were on the offensive side of the football. I think maybe they missed the boat on the defensive side. That's what I'm talking about, and that's the concerning part for me, because I believe the defensive part can sort of be fixed if you go out and make a move for a defensive tackle. You can do that. I have no interest in going out there and getting a running back or an offensive skill player. We have seen those guys come into Kansas City. And Danan even said it today. They've offered nothing. Every guy that we brought in from an offensive standpoint midseason has done nothing to move this team forward. It is time to focus all of your efforts on the defensive side of the ball and try to move it forward from that standpoint.
Let's go on to our guide for the pre- and post-game show host on the Chiefs Radio Network, Josh Briscoe.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
That's right. We go out to Josh Briscoe now as we talk to him on the approach of the deadline, of the trade deadline in the NFL. Briscoe, what do you want? Defensive line help or running back help?
Well, I just got some upsetting news from my agent. Apparently, I'm being shopped around. So, I mean, I got my own issues to deal with today, I suppose. No, I think I'm going defensive line. I think that there was a pretty clear takeaway of what went wrong on both sides of the ball with Chiefs-Bills. And sometimes this complicated sport is relatively simple. And a good way to simplify it is to get pressure on the quarterback or prevent your quarterback from being pressured. I think the Chiefs O-line will be better than what we saw on Sunday. But I think the pass rush is a legitimate need. I think it was a legitimate need throughout most of the offseason, though. So I'm very, very curious to see how the Chiefs address it or don't address it today.
Well, it's become more of a need, though, Josh, because Chris Jones is a zero right now for this organization.
you know, Bob, you know you're going to say something like that to me. I have to push back a little bit, right? Like, you know, this is our dance. And I will say for sure, this has not been the typical Chris Jones experience so far this season. Like, the stretches of dominant performances have not been there. And some of those big plays we've talked about have obviously not been plays that Chris Jones wants to put on his highlight reel. I would push back on zero, maybe not the salary cap payoff you want, given what his cap hit is this year. But I still think that the supporting cast around him has been just as, if not more, problematic than Jones himself so far. The unit altogether is struggling. Chris Jones is not saving it. That's fair. But I think a little bit more competence around him, I think, would make everybody's life a little easier, considering what his usage looks like right now.
Yeah, we saw the report, I'm sure you did too, of the Bills saying they watched a lot of film on Xavier Worthy and they could tell by body language what was coming. What say you when it comes to that tipping pitches as a wide receiver?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And also, not as interesting as coming from a rookie across from him. I think that you've got to it can't reflect well on whatever you're doing leading up to that game, right? Or whatever you're doing through more than a season with Xavier Worthy now. I think that's, if that's all accurate, maybe somebody will be asked about it in a couple of weeks. Obviously, the bye week, we're not going to hear from Matt Nagy anytime soon. But I saw that and I thought, man, like, is that something that they really saw on tape that Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and Hunter Embry and, of course, Xavier Worthy didn't see popping as consistently? And again, a rookie who's just recently made his NFL debut comes in and kind of immediately identifies that. It can't possibly reflect well on your self-scouting there. And that's, frankly, nice to know ahead of the bye week. I'm sure Xavier Worthy has seen that snippet as well. So maybe there's some growth to be had there. But it seemed like for a lot of the night, the Bills had the Chiefs' number. I don't think they, like, had every tell across the book. But it does seem like they were really on their toes, and the Chiefs really felt like they were on their heels offensively on Sunday. And that's another example of why that may have happened.
You know, but also, too, looking at this team on offensively being on their heels, they should never be on their heels offensively at this point in time. It looked like they were on their heels from the moment they took the field on Sunday. It's like usually the Chiefs take a moment and they slow it down and they're okay with it. It looked like the moment got to them. And I thought we saw Patrick Mahomes trying to be Superman again, putting on that cape. It's okay not to be Superman. You go be Batman. You can go be Ant-Man. You can go be somebody else. When he tries to be Superman at times, it just gets out of sorts. And that's what I saw on Sunday out of him.
Right. And it's tough because you're telling Clark Kent, like, hey, man, you don't have to be Superman, because he has had to so many times throughout his career. And he can be. He's one of the only guys who can do that. But to your point, you don't want him having to do that for, you know, a petty crime on the street, if you will, to extend the Superman analogy. And I think what we saw against Buffalo, I'll go back to the O-line, and this is why I really am selling a little bit of optimism here. Like, I'm buying it. I'm selling it to you, a case for optimism. By the end of that game, the Chiefs had one healthy starting offensive lineman. Creed Humphrey in the middle was still healthy, and he's a starter. Everybody else was either playing through something, even Kingsley getting banged up late in that game, or they had a backup out there for them entirely. Jalen Moore's obviously not your day one left tackle. Lonnie Morris finishes the day at right tackle. And Trey Smith's just bad. Like, I mean, it was not a good day for Trey Smith. And I don't think that's because Trey Smith stinks now. I think it's because Trey Smith's trying to protect Patrick Mahomes and move bodies in the trenches with a back issue that will hopefully benefit from an extra week of rest. So I maintain some optimism there. I do not think that that's going to snowball quite in the way we've seen it before. But it really, at this point, it's pretty easy to connect those dots of, like, okay, we got the Tampa Super Bowl, we got last year's Philly Super Bowl, we've got the issues in the offense last year. And I think when Mahomes loses a little bit of faith in that offensive line, that's when you start to see him, perhaps, this is, you know, perhaps overreacting, I guess would be the word, like in a very literal sense, when he sees that flash of color, instead of going, oh, okay, let Josh Simmons or Juwan Taylor or Jalen Moore or Kingsley or Trey Smith or Creed, they're gonna catch this and clean this up before it disrupts the play. Well, you get a few times when it does quickly disrupt the play, and again, I think that faith diminishes a little bit in his protection. He's more likely to choose to leave the pocket, where, again, he's the best quarterback we've ever seen when he does that, but you'd still rather not have to see him doing that as often as he did against Buffalo, and often doing that when the pressure is on the way, but not necessarily 100% disruptive at the point when he bails. So I guess that's the thing that's slightly heartening about the Bills' loss, is that I think it's relatively obvious, relatively simple what happened to the Chiefs' offense in that game, and it's something that I don't think is going to continue being a problem, because I think when the Broncos game comes around in less than 2 weeks, I think we're going to see Josh Simmons at left tackle, it sounds like, he's back in the building. And then on the right side, either Juwan Taylor's healthy enough to go, or Jalen Moore moves to right tackle, and I feel okay about either of those guys there. So that's my case for optimism on the offense, despite the fact that I was very, very frustrated watching that offensive performance on Sunday.
Had a take earlier, Josh, about the separation from the 1 seed to the 8 seed being the Chiefs 8, Colts 1 in the AFC picture. Pretty slim. Who's the team that has the biggest upside, in your opinion, that could be the biggest factor against the Chiefs in the AFC picture?
I mean, I guess I'm going to say it's the Bills. They have the head-to-head, obviously, now, and I think I have my questions about the Patriots, who will absolutely be a playoff team, but I'm very curious to see if they can hold serve as the season goes on. That's the problem now, though, with Buffalo, is that even a tying up of the records does not get the Chiefs back to the 1 seed. Again, if I'm spinning positive today, I don't know, it's Tuesday and I got all my negative feelings out yesterday. Mm. The interesting thing in the AFC West is that if not accounting for the rest of the season, when the Chiefs have to, you know, keep handling their business or start handling their business, if the Chiefs sweep the Broncos and beat the Chargers, all of that is knotted back up again. They could actually even the playing field plus the rest of the schedule. So I feel okay about the AFC West still being in play. I'm not really sure. I think it was Nick Bolton after the game talking to Dana or Kling, and somebody asked, he was in a media scrum, and somebody asked, I think it was Bolton again, are you expecting to see this team again in the playoffs? You see this team so often. Well, how do you think about that? And Bolton said something along the lines of like, well, yeah, we do. But, you know, honestly, right now we can't be thinking about playoffs. We got to be thinking about getting another game over 500. Yep. and trying to stay in this AFC West picture. And I think that's probably the right headspace for them to be in. It's been a very long time since the Chiefs team has had any real reason to think about it that way, to think about a comeback in the AFC West. But in a very literal sense, that's where they're at. And if they lose to the Broncos in 2 weeks, I think we probably just turn our focus to wild card standings, which would be a pretty strange place to be in mid-November.
Yeah, but it may be the reality of this team because, you know, whatever it is, they're very talented, but it's not working at this moment on the field where it needs to be working. And maybe that's something you get figured out to buy. I mean, we got Andy Reid with a week off, man. It's like a lot's going to get done. And I'm sure Andy Reid isn't going out there and taking time off. I'm sure him and that coaching staff, maybe they get a break on a Friday or something, but they're going to be back in there all week trying to figure this thing out because, you know, you're sitting at 5-4. You got 9 games through the season. You got half your season left. There's plenty of season out there, but things have to start clicking. Things have to start working in their favor, and they've got to figure out a way to do 2 things, run the ball and stop the run, and commit to both of those. And I think that's ultimately where we fall short a lot of the times, is that commitment to stopping the run and that commitment to running the football. I need both from this team in the final half of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to start on the defensive side. I think everything you said there about like this bi-week self-scouting thing also very much applies to Steve Spagnuolo.
No doubt.
And when we know in that Buffalo game, hey, what went wrong defensively? Well, the tight ends had 4,000 yards. Yep. That's a problem. And so I do think, maybe it's Silver Lining Tuesday. I do think that having this happen before the bye, when you get as undressed as they've gotten at full strength, at least obviously the first couple of weeks, it was weird and kind of janky, and the Jags game was infuriating. But the Bills game, like, the better team won that game on Sunday. I don't think anybody has any question about that. So if you're Steve Spagnuolo and you're looking at the day that Drew Tranquil had, are you having to protect him in coverage against tight ends? Is there another way you can go about that? Or was that 2 bad plays from Tranquil where he loses his footing and then gets picked over the middle? Or is that something you say, hey, you know what, Jaden Hicks, you got 4 snaps against Buffalo. We're going to start seeing more of him in some of these sub-packages. I don't know if that's going to be the lever, if it's following more Noel Williams and having Trent McDuffie in the slot, or maybe Spags looking around saying, you know, having McDuffie in the slot more didn't help our run defense with James Cook. I will say I also remain optimistic on the run defense for the most part. James Cook is the first number one running back this year to have a successful day against the Chiefs. Saquon Barkley was in that category. I think he was 22 for 88 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Saquon had a good day. James Cook was the first to go over 100 yards for number one running back. Justice Hill was stretching the rest of the stats in his garbage time touchdown. So I do think there's even more case for optimism there. I think getting pressure on the quarterback, especially that front four, is a huge concern. And then actually mentioning, like you said, the Chiefs having some commitment to running the football nobody's asking Andy Reid to just go full ground and pound, HB dive. But the running game was working against Buffalo by and large. The Chiefs and Bills rushing stats were remarkably similar. Kareem Hunt, 4.5 yards per carry. James Cook, 4.2. The Chiefs ran for 4 yards a carry. So did the Bills. The Chiefs' success rate and EPA per play running the ball was right there neck and neck with Buffalo, and they just never I don't want Kareem Hunt getting 20 carries most of the time, but if you're going to give me maybe a carry on third and fourth down on that sequence the Chiefs didn't convert, maybe you're going to have a few more chances to just set that tone early in the set of downs. Set yourself up for a second and five and see if Kareem Hunt can lean in that way. Again, it's not your plan A. You don't want to run back the offense that we saw last year. And if it was Isaiah Pacheco, he and Kareem Hunt are combining for more than 11 carries that Hunt got. Clyde and Rashard Smith, it's just not – they're not getting real running back work in quite that way. And again, Clyde getting the call up over Elijah Mitchell is kind of confusing. So I still struggle to see the picture in the ground game, because you're also, in some of these important circumstances, you're handing the ball to Kareem Hunt out of shotgun, which is not his best work. It's not his best circumstances, and it isn't for Pacheco either. So I think there needs to be – maybe that's my big hope for the bye week, that when they come out against Denver, that we see a real wrinkle in the running game that allows them to lean on it a little bit more often. I don't mind, for what it's worth, when Rashee Rice is replacing the running game, when you end up with some screens to Rashard Smith to do some of those short yardage pickup, play in the passing game situation. I'm okay with that when it's working, but that wasn't the counter against Buffalo either. This wasn't a game where Rashee Rice had 12 targets and 8 or 9 catches. It wasn't replacing the running game with short Rice stuff. It just felt like nothing was working, and that was a very, very frustrating thing to watch.
Yeah, talking to the pre- and post-game show host on the Chiefs Radio Network, Josh Briscoe. Last one, we asked Danan, halfway through the season, midterm grade, what do you give this Chiefs team?
Probably, it's hard to say anything over like a B-. Maybe that's a little bit. I'm curious what Danan said. Because
C.
I was thinking C+, B-, in that kind of range. I think I give him a little bit of credit for surviving the Xavier Worthy thing while also not having Rashee Rice. Like, I think getting out of those, if you would have obviously asked me before the Bills game, who would have done the grading then, I think I would have probably added another grade or half grade. But I don't know. I think that's probably right. I can't imagine that anybody in that building is giving them anything over a C+. So maybe I'll lean on that. But they lost a few points off the GPA against Buffalo for sure.
So what did you give them then?
I'll give them a C+. So I can say I'm more optimistic than Danan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what that was. So we
C!
got a C+ and a C from both of those guys that watch this game more than anybody else in the city. Briscoe,
you give them a higher grade, though? I don't think they're wrong.
Yeah, I respect it, man. You know, but C's get degrees, and hopefully they get a wild card spot as well. So, Briscoe, we appreciate the time, and enjoy the week off, my man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Look, we just got to get that GPA good enough. We're at midterms right now. We got to be in shape by finals week, and maybe things will be okay.
That's right.
Appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
You get it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.